Let us hear a fairly short talk by His Holiness Satchinandana Maharaj. This was not too long ago, on November 1st. Also, it seems more or less 100% clear that Maharaj will be participating fully in the Govardhan retreat. So that's quite nice to know. To hear. And who likes Terkadamba? Most wonderful place. Most wonderful place. And tomorrow we shall be going there again. And tomorrow should really try to get 64 rounds done. That means, amongst other things, being very serious while we're there, and we'll try to designate a special area. If you want to talk, you can go there and talk, but everywhere else, please observe the Mona aspect of Krishna consciousness, what we just chant. Actually, when that Rishikesh Baba, he was appreciating so much the conduct of the devotees at Terkadamba because they were just chanting Krishna's names. And there wasn't very much and so many other things. And he was quoting from Chaitanya Charitamrita about how in Kali Yuga, what hope do we have other than Krishna's holy names? And also, when I'm there tomorrow, I'll see devotees maybe for a short time, because I also want to chant Krishna's names in this very holy place. And what else? And make sure when you leave Terkadamba tomorrow, you can leave your hearts there, but take your shoes. There were 3 pairs left behind. And also, it was nice taking prasadam there, wasn't it? So nice. It's such a wonderful prasadam place. There are so many pastimes that take place there because it's just between, because that's the Goshala area of Nanda Maharaj. And it is also the place where Nanda Maharaj's grandfather performed austerities in the nearby Lord Shiva temple, Asheshwar Mahadev. And it's also just between Javat, the place where Srimati Radharani stays with her in-laws, and Nandagaon. So when Srimati Radharani would come with Lalita and Vishakha early in the morning, she would pass just by Terkadamba on her way to Nandagaon to cook. And do you know who was there just waiting for her? Yes, it's true. Krishna was there with the cowherd boys, and so many funny exchanges would take place. And there would be the glancing at each other with the corners of the eyes, out of the corners of their eyes, the sidelong glance. And very funny pastimes would occur there. Very sweet. And the mercy of Srila Rupa Goswami flows so sweetly there. So supportive. So supportive of our own chanting in Krishna consciousness. Raise your hand if you felt yourself more able to chant attentively and more easily there. So nice. And the trees are all Kalpavriksha trees. They're shelter-giving trees. So old, so wise. They've seen everything already. And therefore they're touching the ground in humility. Now, in this particular talk, and it won't be a long one, just I think it's about 30 minutes. Srimati Radharani's birth, I think it will be described by Maharaj. And it's good if we take rest a little early tonight, so we're up strong. and ready to chant Krishna's holy names with attention, devotion, and surrender tomorrow, praying for special mercy. Let's hear what Maharaj says.
There's another description of the appearance of Srimati Radharani on this planet. Let us first offer our prayers to Radharani. Tapta kanchana gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. One Suryadev Bhanu worshipped Lord Sri Hari with a desire to get Gokuleshwari as his daughter. The Lord was pleased with Surya and agreed to fulfill his desire. On the earthly planet in Gokula Mahavan, there is a village called Raval. In that village there was a king amongst the cowherds named Mahabhanu. He had 5 sons: Chandrabhanu, Ratnabhanu, Brishabhanu, Subhanu and Pratibhanu. Each of them was very sober, self-controlled, and all were great Vaishnavas. Amongst these 5 brothers, Vrishabhanu was selected to take up the position on the throne after Mahabhanu. This Vrishabhanu was none different than Suryadev or Bhanudev. King Vrishabhanu performed hundreds of Raja Surya Yagyas for the pleasure of Lord Sri Hari and observing religious practices in all respects. He was a great Rajashi, and everyone worshipped him for his great qualities. At that time, there was another very rich cowherd man living in Braj called Bindu. His wife's name was Mukhara. Bindu had fathered 5 sons and 3 daughters from the womb of his wife Mukhara. The 5 sons were Bhadrakirti, Chandrakirti, Mahabala, Mahakirti and Sridham. His daughters were Bhanumudra, Kirtimati and Kirtida. According to some Puranas, another name of Kirtida is Kalavati. Now King Vrishabhanu, this is the sun god, who has come as the son of this great Vaishnav Mahabhanu who lived in Raval. So King Vrishabhanu married Kirtida, the daughter of Bindu. Even after many years had passed, still they had no child. Both of them were passing their days in great distress and trying their best to conceive a child by performing different kinds of yagyas, giving in charity, performing special pujas and archana, and traveling to different holy places. But still they were not successful. I mean, we can just imagine what it must be for such exalted grihasthas to want to have a child, but for many, many, many years they are not successful. They do yagyas and they do ekadasi vratas. The same held true for Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. They just didn't obtain a child. They tried very much. There's a place here in Braj which is related to Maharaj Shantanu. It's a beautiful temple which is in the midst of a lake, and it is said that childless grihasthas who wish to obtain a child can go to this temple. I believe the deity was in his name there is Bihari, the name of Krishna, and when he is worshipped, then he blesses the childless couple to have a child. This I have heard. But coming back to Vrishabhanu and Kirtita, they just were not successful. Finally, the most chaste Kirtita advised her husband to worship Devi Katyayani. Why don't you try this? As per her advice, King Vrishabhanu started his worship of Katyayani Devi at the foot of Govardhan on the bank of the river Jamuna. There are many, many, many statements, which, including the Bhagavatam, which say that in olden days the Yamuna was flowing past Govardhan. You must have heard it. He performed austerities by following Mona Vrata and abstaining from food for long periods of time. One day, while absorbed in meditation during his Vrata, King Vrishabhanu heard a sound vibration. Harinama Vina Vatsa Kana Shutina Jayate Tasma Shriyaskaram Rajang Harinamanu Kirtanam Krihana Harinamani Yata Kramang Vinindita. O Vatsa, Vrishabhanu heard this. O Vatsa means my dear son. Without accepting Harinam, the ears do not get purified. To chant the holy name of Hari is most auspicious. Accept the holy name of Hari properly. He heard this. Akashwani. Then King Vrishabhanu, after hearing these instructions to purify his ears by Harinam, he went to the ashram of Kratumuni, which was situated on the bank of the Yamuna, and accepted Harinam initiation from Kratumuni, who explained so many different rules and regulations. The mantra given by Kratumuni was Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then Kratumuni told the king, Iti Shodashaka Namat Makam Namnam Tri Kala Kalma Shapaham Nata Paratadopaya Sarvavedi Shuvityate. There's no translation, but this verse is very much well known. It says, this is a mantra made out of 16 words, and it's the soul of all mantras. It's the holy name, and one sees all the Vedas after chanting it. In other words, it's all the Vedas say, chant this. After giving the Mahamantra to the king, Kratmuni told Vrishabhanu, Shakto va Vaishnavo va pi, so yo va Shaiva eva va, Ganapatyo labet karna shudhim namanu kirtanat. Whether Shakta or Shaiva, Soya or Vaishnava, or Ganapatya, in other words, if you worship the Shakti or Shiva, if you are a devotee of, don't know what this means here, Soya or Vaishnava, or if you are a devotee of Lord Ganesh, in any case, only the name of Hari and sung in kirtan brings purification to the ears. Unless one takes Harinam at the beginning and purifies the ears, no other mantra will give any result. In whose ear hole the holy name of Hari has not entered, his ears are contaminated like the low-born pig herders, the Shabaras. O King, the Harinam which I have offered to you has been glorified by Srila Vyasadeva when once he was asked by Suta Goswami. Brahma has also taught the process of chanting Harinam to Angira Muni. You should engage yourself in chanting this mantra with full concentration. So Kratu Muni is giving these valuable instructions on chanting the holy name to the father or childless father, Maharaj Vrishabhanu. Vrishabhanu heard all this and he offered his prostrated obeisances to Kratu Muni. Then he came back to the bank of the Yamuna and started to chant the mantra with devotion. After some time, Katyayani Devi became very pleased with King Vrishabhanu and appeared in front of him. The king offered his obeisances and prayers unto Katyayani. When Devi asked the king what boon he sought, he replied, "Simply by having your darshan, all my desires are fulfilled. Still, if you are pleased to give me some boon, then what can I say? The desires of my heart are known to you." After Katyayani had heard these words from the king, she offered the king an oval box in the shape of a golden egg, which was radiant like thousands of suns. Katyayani Devi then disappeared. Maharaj Vrishabhanu returned to his home with great jubilation. After some time, as a result of the service to Harinam, which was the essence of the Vrata of Kirtida and Vrishabhanu, Srimati Radharani appeared on the most auspicious day at the most auspicious moment. She was very tender and most beautiful, like a golden champaka flower. Wonderful. So, I've never heard this, but this comes from the Brahmanda Purana. And then there is the third description of the appearance of Srimati Radharani. Once King Vrishabhanu was immersed in the waters of the Yamuna, meditating upon the Lord. Suddenly, a 1,000-petaled lotus flower came floating towards him and touched his body. When he opened his eyes, he saw the most beautiful, molten, golden-colored girl lying on the lotus and moving her hands and little legs. As the king had no child, he was very happy to receive this girl. He brought her to his palace and gave her to his wife Kirtida. Thus Srimati Radharani appeared in the earthly home of her eternal parents, Kirtida Sundari and Maharaj Vrishabhanu. Yes, I heard also some other story. I heard that once Prabhupada said that once Vrishabhanu Maharaj was plowing a field, and as he was plowing through the earth, all of a sudden the plow got stuck at a box. So he dug more in the earth and found it was a beautiful box. And when he opened the box, he saw a most beautiful girl inside, Srimati Radharani. Now, why was Maharaj Prishabhanu plowing, who's a king? It's unusual for a king to plow himself. I believe it was, or what I've heard is, he plowed as part of a yajna, and it must have been this yajna which we have heard about, a yajna which would empower him to have a child who would be Gokuleshwari or Vrindavaneshwari. When we hear this many descriptions one after the other, and even some more descriptions, each one more mystical and mysterious than the preceding one, we are left to wonder which one is true, or how can they all be true? See, devotional things or the appearances of Radharani or Krishna are unlimited. It's not that there is no variety, that different ways they appear in different times, because their appearance is part of a Leela, a play. And Leela is defined in the dictionary as something which only serves the purpose of pleasure. There is no reason. Like when you do some playful activity, you wouldn't ask the question, why was the playful activity performed like this and not like that? It was just a play, a pastime. It didn't have any reason. That's interesting. When a devotee approaches Krishna with a desire to be saved by him, the devotee sometimes says to Krishna, "You are the Lord of plays. You are the Leela Purushottama. So because you are the Lord of playful activities, please save me." In other words, the devotee acknowledges that there is no compelling reason why Krishna should save him. But because Krishna does different plays, why not do this play? Amazing, isn't it? Of course, today is Prabhupada's disappearance day. I just phoned Germany and they said they celebrated yesterday. I wanted to read to you something which touched me very much. Prabhupada introduces in one purport, not purport, in one lecture, a mantra. He discusses that the only thing which we can offer Krishna, which he is really pleased with, is bhakti or devotional feelings. So here is something, how we can approach Krishna with devotional feeling. Prabhupada says this is a mantra which in itself is sufficient. Here it is. You should submit to Krishna and you should feel that I am worthless. My Guru Maharaj has given me this chance to serve Krishna, to offer something to Krishna. But my Lord, I am worthless. I really have no capacity to serve you. But on the order of my Guru Maharaj, I am trying to serve you. Please do not take any offense. Accept whatever I can do. That's all. That is my request. Beautiful, isn't it? To say to Krishna, by the mercy of my Guru Maharaj, I have been given a chance to serve you. But my Lord, I'm so useless. I don't see any capacity in me to serve you. All I have is the order of my Guru Maharaj. So I'm trying to serve you. Please overlook my offenses. Please accept whatever I can do. That is my request. Prabhupada writes, that mantra is sufficient. I'm worthless. My Guru Maharaj has given this chance to serve Krishna, to offer something to Krishna. But my Lord, I'm so worthless. I have no capacity to serve you. You know, I'm not a great servant. Sanatana Goswami prays, I don't have the abilities of the yogis, nor do I have good sanskaras. I don't come from a good family. I don't perform any significant amounts of sadhana. I'm really worthless. If you study me, you will see I have no capacity to serve you. But there is this order, this open door, which my Guru Maharaj has given. So on his order, I'm trying to serve you. Please overlook my offenses and mistakes. Please do not take any offense. Accept whatever little I can do. That's all. That is my request. And Prabhupada said, that mantra is sufficient. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. Krishna never said that one who offers me with Sanskrit mantras. No, Yomi Bhaktya Prayachati. The real thing is bhakti, feeling. How can I serve Krishna? How can I please him? That is wanted. The process is not to become a very good scholar in speaking in Sanskrit or English. Always feel I am worthless, but I have been given a chance to serve by the grace of my Guru Maharaj. So kindly accept whatever little service I can give. I'm offensive. So kindly excuse me. In this way, be humble, meek, and offer your feeling. And Krishna will be satisfied. Not that you have to show how you can speak in the Sanskrit language. I think it's such a nice quotation which brings us to the heart of bhakti. That very humbly requests Lord Krishna to be satisfied with whatever little thing we can do for him. And when he sees someone with such a humble mood, then he allows such a person to feel the reality of Krishna consciousness. And I think so often when we are in Vrindavan confronted with great devotees who have such deep feelings, like doing the Mangal Arati for Krishna, When we look in our hearts, our feelings are not so developed. We even may still doubt Radha Krishna. Shoes made from flowers. How will it work, you know, in the real world? We may think like this. But see, Radha and Krishna can only be well understood in one way, through love. And if someone asks me what I personally perceive in Prabhupada as being my spiritual master, how I meditate about Prabhupada, I am forced to say is he's living in Krishna. He's living with Krishna. For him, Krishna is an absolute reality. Krishna keeps his or has his lotus feet in his heart, and Krishna never leaves Prabhupada's heart. Prabhupada is always thinking of Krishna, talking about Krishna, loving Krishna, going with Krishna through his life. That's why his words have power. Today I heard a lecture. It was when I was really in pain. And Prabhupada said, pain will come and go like happiness comes and goes in this world. But we should go on with our business to serve Krishna. And when he said it, it made everything so real for me. I felt, yeah, that's correct. That is what I would also like to do. I felt so, I got so much strength and courage, and I felt in his words a good portion of spiritual reality. In other words, they were not just words, they were the fact of life. And then I could act, and I believe that's the ongoing mystery of being connected with the spiritual master. When the spiritual master talks about spiritual life, all of a sudden that spiritual life is no longer a theory, it is a fact. Maybe you have experienced that also, and now you can act on it, act in spiritual life. Whereas when you hear it on your own, or you read it on your own, or you think of it in your own, it's just not as real. It's not such a realistic possibility, because it's the spiritual master speaks from a level of which is just higher than the level of the mind. He speaks of what he has seen and experienced and so on. So Prabhupada has saved me very much, and often today he also saved me, Krishna. For me, the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada is a very heavy day and a difficult day, because on one level he has not disappeared. I was thinking about this morning. Only on a certain level he has disappeared. Those who follow the spiritual master can see how he is eternally present. Just like those who hear the Vedic scriptures with faith, they can hear through these words, or feel through these words, Krishna. So Hare Krishna, I will end here.
So please continue chanting Hare Krishna very seriously, and tomorrow wake up chanting very seriously, and then we'll continue at Tirthadamba.